Hello, Chris Graham here, joining you on Facebook Live on Augusta Free Press. Thank you for joining us. And I said Team AFP. I've been trying for so long to find someone to be able to join me on my regular podcast and Facebook Lives to talk pro wrestling. And it's the one thing I can't find. Got a good cast of co-hosts who can talk sports with me, certainly news with me. But here in the wrestling realm, well, you see behind me, this is finally, let's see if I can move my head a little bit. There's a Bullet Club shirt. There's a Shawn Michaels poster. This is one area where I can more than do my best at handling it on my own. I've mentioned on podcasts before, usually with other people, and not talking wrestling specifically, that I had the great pleasure of being able to work in the pro wrestling industry for several years. And so the insight hopefully I can offer into what's going on in pro wrestling today can be helpful. You know, I've worked as a promoter. My wife and I worked putting on events locally for several years to work with a company called Awesome Wrestling Entertainment for quite a while. And then also, I got to even write a wrestling pay-per-view that actually aired. It was a live pay-per-view. That was kind of fun. And so that part of me seems like it's in the distant past now, right? But it's actually not. I guess our last collaboration was it 2017 or 2018? When we last worked in the business? I think it was 2018 actually. And so, it's fun. And so, we need as many distractions, positive distractions, as we can possibly come up with, I think, in this day and age. So here we go. Distraction in the form of in-depth WrestleMania 36 analysis preview. That's what we're going to do here today on our Facebook Live. And so, and the fact that wrestling is WWE and wrestling in general is still continuing is an amazing thing in one sense. Certainly, everything else is shut down now for good reason. We're being told social distancing is so important, and the business model for most businesses in the sports realm certainly, it doesn't work nearly as well without fans. And wrestling, probably the same in a sense. Now, AEW, we'll talk about them just briefly here. In fact, I should show you the shirt I'm wearing is an AEW shirt. I got this at the very first AEW show in Washington, D.C. back in October. AEW only does one weekly show. They don't have a house touring schedule like WWE does. They do the one weekly show. They do their quarterly pay-per-view. So that's not a business that is built around the touring aspect of the business side as WWE is. WWE, of course, puts their three television shows on a week in a normal realm, and they're still doing so now. Raw on Monday, the NXT show on Wednesday, SmackDown show on Friday. But then around that, the three touring brands, NXT has a more limited touring schedule, mainly Florida and some in the Southeast. They'll occasionally go outside that realm, but a lot of shows down in Florida because NXT started and still has a primary role as sort of the developmental arm of WWE. That's where they send a lot of their younger talents to get seasoning experience. Now with the TV show that came on as competition for AEW back in October, there certainly has been an added aspect of, well, now we need to send some established guys down there just to add the TV aspect of it. But still, it's treated as a developmental arm and does a great job as that. The other two brands, Raw and SmackDown, need to tour. They have their one weekly show on Raw on Monday again and SmackDown on Friday. But outside of that one day a week, they'll tour four other days a week to bring in the extra revenue that comes with touring. Obviously, house shows, but they have house shows regularly, for example, at John Paul Jones Arena, an arena I know very well as a beat writer for University of Virginia Sports. They have at least once a year, maybe in some years twice a year, they'll do shows at JPJ. They'll be at the Richmond Coliseum. They're down at the Norfolk Scope up in D.C., within our general area. And those shows make money. I know at JPJ, they'll routinely draw 5,000-8,000 people. That's people buying tickets, that's people buying concessions, shirts, everything else. And so that aspect is gone. I mean, obviously with COVID, just like every other thing that involves more than 10 people in one place, that's not possible right now. But one area where wrestling has been able to, at least for now, fill in the gaps, they still make money just like other sports do. And in fact, most of the money made in sports these days is from TV, TV rights fees. And WWE, is in the first year of its new contracts with USA Network, which is NBC Universal, owned by NBC Universal, and Fox, that are paying WWE over $1 billion for the next 5 years, over the course of the next 5 years. Works out to about $500 million a year in revenue. So, as long as they're keeping, I guess the feeling is as long as they're keeping that TV content up, then it's just continuing that money flow into the bank there. But with WrestleMania, it's a big deal as a moneymaker too, just the single day event. I've seen numbers associated with this, and I think I'm right. I didn't look this number up before this podcast, but live gate is usually 20 million plus for WrestleMania. It's an event that usually is held in big football stadiums. This year it was scheduled to be in Tampa, where the Tampa Bay Bucks play, Tom Brady's new home, right? The routinely places that hold 60,000 to 80,000 people. It was in Jerry World, the Cowboys Stadium, a few years ago. A reported crowd of 100,000, probably more likely around 80,000 to 85,000. Still a lot of people buying tickets, and again the merch and everything else. So it's routinely, again, it's a routinely just for WWE a $20 million event, and then all the stuff around it. WrestleMania week is just from the WWE perspective. They have so many access events, and then every independent company in the country, in the world, wants to be there. And they set up their own shows, they set up their own fan fest and that kind of thing. And so it's usually for the community that hosts it. Tampa, for example, this year was just standing to make all kinds of money from hotel room rentals, as fans flock there. From around the world, not just to see WrestleMania itself, but to be a part of all those fan fest events and all those other independent shows that are held that weekend. So that's a big loss for Tampa, certainly. And for WWE, the $20 million they would have walked away from the weekend with is a big loss. But they're still putting the show on, and the shows have become, as we know, the wrestling fans who are watching this, you know this. That the monthly shows that I guess we used to call pay-per-views, and for some reason they're still available on pay-per-view. I saw that Fox is actually going to do this on pay-per-view for $60, where you can get it for free if you sign up for WWE Network now, or $9.99 a month if you're still a subscriber. And so I guess in areas maybe where your internet connection isn't as good, you'd rather instead of live streaming it, you'd rather have it on pay-per-view for $60. So I guess they're still technically pay-per-views, but I don't think of them as that anymore. I just think of them as the monthly Sunday night events. Those can be big. I mean, that's what lures people to sign up for WWE Network, and the network is a big money maker itself for WWE. It's a new stream of revenue that has become a very important stream of revenue for WWE, in addition to those dollars from Fox and from NBC Universal. So a lot of controversy within WWE that we're hearing kind of leaking out. About the decision to continue with WrestleMania, not delay it, maybe not just hold it after. And apparently, from what we're told, Vince McMahon was the key guy, and of course, he's the guy saying we're going to continue with WrestleMania no matter what. And I can kind of see the reasoning, actually. If it was me in there, I would have been probably the only other one besides Vince McMahon saying go ahead and have an event called WrestleMania, even though it won't be anything like WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the event where you have it in the big football stadium. You have the big entrances. Triple H has a match usually, right? I don't think he has one this year, but he does his annual match. Comes out on a motorcycle or carried on people's shoulders or whatever the case may be. You always have an Undertaker match with the big elaborate entrances. I'm not saying that they won't. In fact, we know from various reports that WWE's taped the matches and it's just putting them together now into a cohesive two set of two shows actually this year, for Saturday and Sunday. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look or feel like. We can only get a guess based on the weekly shows that we've had the last 3 weeks, from Raw, SmackDown, NXT, that have not come off well, and not anything for the fault of WWE. They're filming them at the WWE Performance Center. It's a small venue. You don't have a lot of height. You don't have a lot of depth. And then the performers are still sort of gesticulating to the crowd like, there's people there, and it's just not going over. It's to borrow the term from Jim Cornette, it's going over like the wet fart in church. Seeing Rob Gronkowski when he came out announced as the WrestleMania host a couple weeks ago, and jumping around and flopping around and everything else, and there's nobody to react and nobody to bounce off of. It just felt weird. So I will hope that WWE kind of saw, has seen that, noticed that, and figure out some way to film it in a way that makes it seem a little more interesting. AEW's done a decent job, I think, with what their approach has been, and what I like what they've done, strategically placing talents in the front row around the ring in such a way to not run afoul of the 10 people in place rules and that kind of thing. And having those talents obviously be very vocal during the matches, oohs and ahs and cheering and booing and everything else, to just provide something. And of course, they've been taping, at least until this week, they were taping at the Daly Park outside of the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium that's owned by the Khan family. And that's got much more height, much more depth. It's an actual wrestling venue. They were moved out of there this week, I understand, and had to film in Georgia. I think at a place called the Monster Factory. I hope I have that name right. That also has a similar feel. But now Georgia has a stay-at-home order that will preclude that. And so whether they apparently enough has been taped that they can at least ride out the next few weeks from what they were able to tape and kind of piece together. Kind of like how WWE has done the same with its WrestleMania show here. And we'll see where we are, say, in May when that footage runs out. But again, AEW kind of worked its way around the problem of not having an active crowd by, again, with the depth and the height of real actual arenas that they were able to use, and then strategically placing just a few performers around the ring. If I'm WWE, I'm kind of speculating here, and I know we're going to break down the card that we know of here in a couple minutes. I suggested this in a column earlier this week, though, about how, among the things, if I were in charge of production, or at least have had some input into production, what I would do, I would actually go the route. Fans who are joining me here might remember the Lucha Underground shows that used to run on El Rey Network, and did so for quite a while. Those were shot using almost like a more cinematography kind of approach, like not, WWE, AEW are filmed as, and of course they're usually done live, right? But they're done like live sporting events, where you treat them, you shoot them like a live sporting event with basically video cameras, almost like the TV news, right? And it comes off in a videotape kind of fashion, with the approach of Lucha Underground was to almost like shooting it like a movie, and you got darker images, you got a little grainier, and I can see that really working, especially for entrances. If you wanted to do a really elaborate Undertaker entrance, using that kind of approach, and the matches themselves, just add something. You could add some CGI. Which WWE does with a lot of its entrances at its big pay-per-views, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam. You'll see them, with those CGI created graphics for Roman Reigns or Triple H, to use a couple of examples. They kind of look like something suspended from the top of the arena, when they're really not. It's just superimposed on the screen. That kind of thing could really work. They could superimpose. Hey, let's do it. Superimpose maybe either visuals of fans, or have kind of like a laugh track on a sitcom. Have a crowd track. There's ways to make this come across better than Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. And of course, I'm saying this, WWE is going to do what they're going to do. But I think if you're going to treat this, if it's going to feel like a WrestleMania, that's what you've got to do. You've got to do something special with this. And I suspect, a couple of reasons they probably filmed this last week. One, just to get ahead of anybody possibly being exposed to coronavirus. I say that with a little bit of a chuckle, but you gotta. I'm sure when the decision was made to go ahead with this, let's get this in the can as quickly as possible, in case any of our performers gets exposed to coronavirus, and we maybe have to put things on shutdown. That was one reason for it. But I bet a second reason for it was, let's get these matches filmed. If we don't like the first version, let's do the second version, let's do a third version, whatever we got to do, and then give us some time to play with the footage. So it would not surprise me if, I know a lot of fans are speculating online that this is just going to be a really big dud of a WrestleMania. It's going to come across in a very negative way. I'd be surprised. WWE, I give them criticism for lots of things, and fairly so. But I also will fairly give them credit for being a pioneer in terms of how they approach their product. It's a product that Vince McMahon built up himself from the ground floor. and really innovative approaches in a lot of ways to how matches are shot, presented. The WWE Network was a very innovative idea that I'm surprised hasn't really caught on. I'm surprised UFC didn't go the same route. Yeah, again, I'd be surprised. I'll stop here for just a second. We're 15 minutes into our Facebook Live. Anybody has questions, any comments, please feel free to jump in. We're and do that now, and also just kind of signposting is a term I used to use when I was on the debate team back in high school. Saturday night, Sunday night, we're gonna be here live after the shows, after both nights of WrestleMania, and we'll be here live doing breakdowns of the shows. After Saturday night's show, we'll do a breakdown and then another preview of Sunday's show. And then on Sunday, of course, we'll recap Sunday. We'll look back at the whole thing and kind of this works better, of course, when folks are joining in and saying, "Hey, here's what I liked, what I didn't like, etc." So please feel free to do that. Now, now that I'm finally moving, 16 minutes in, finally moving to actually previewing WrestleMania 36. Part of what precludes us from getting really in-depth with previewing this is that we don't know what the card is exactly going to be. And part of that reason is WWE, at least on its TV storylines, has not acknowledged that Roman Reigns is not going to participate. He was scheduled for the Universal title match with Bill Goldberg. And we know from various reports that he has decided to back out, citing, and I say reports, and he's in fact confirmed this himself. So it's not like we're just hearing reports and, you know, sometimes reports mean somebody saying something that isn't true. This is Roman Reigns saying, I did not participate in WrestleMania. And citing the very valid reason that, of course, we know that he's just about a year past recovering from his second bout with leukemia. That big, healthy, strong-looking man has twice in his life now battled back leukemia. And so, you know, when we're talking about COVID-19, certainly people with underlying conditions are at most risk from this. So, you know, when you think about people with underlying conditions, you tend to think of seniors, you tend to think of people who, you know, I mean, we're seeing obesity cited as an issue, diabetes, other heart conditions. There are lots of conditions that are cited. You don't look at Roman Reigns and say, "Oh, that guy's vulnerable," but he's very much so. A guy who's very immunocompromised, a term that I couldn't think of 2 weeks ago, but now we hear all the time. And so Roman Reigns will not be competing with Bill Goldberg in that Universal title match. We know that. But WWE has not acknowledged such on its you know, episodic programming. And so the strong rumor is that Braun Strowman is a replacement. And that would be a very interesting match. And when you think about Bill Goldberg was brought in to be the champ. He defeated Bray Wyatt for that title. The reason that was the case was because they wanted to set up a Goldberg versus Reigns, sort of a dream match between, you know, the sort of dominant force of the 90s and a dominant force they're trying to present here in 2020. And Spear versus Spear, I mean, a lot of similarities between these two guys' ring styles. And now, of course, with COVID-19 and with Reigns backing out, you know, that takes away the need for Bill Goldberg to have been the champ in the first place. But Braun Strowman makes a lot of sense to me as the replacement, and also makes a lot of sense to me to be the what I'll call the interstitial champion. Interstitial champions are usually guys who you take the belt to give it to the next guy. You know, you don't want it used to be used all the time in the both in WWF at the time and NWA title situations when, you know, WWF always had a fan favorite, kind of sort of babyface champion, and the NWA always went the other direction. They always had a heel champion, and when you wanted to have a heel champion be replaced, you couldn't have the heel lose to a heel, so they would lose to a babyface who would then lose 2 or 3 weeks later to the next heel. In WWE, WWF at the time, you didn't want when you had a babyface champion, you wanted your new babyface champion to come in. You had a heel beat them in between. That was the term interstitial champion. You just you took the belt off in that way. And sorry, I've got allergies. I'm scratching myself. You're not supposed to touch your face. Setting bad examples here. It's also allergy season this time of year, in the South at least. Interstitial champion in this sense, then I look at Strowman. I mean, one, it'd be great to have the belt on him. It'll be something that when he has to give it over eventually to Roman Reigns, maybe around SummerSlam time. It'll be a great thing that he'll have that on his resume. You can always say former champion Braun Strowman. It'll elevate him in a great way. But it also, you know, just in the time being, Braun Strowman is champ. Makes a lot of sense. And so that's one fun one to look forward to, in my opinion. And I really look forward to seeing how that comes about. The other men's title match at the top of a card, and we don't know the order yet. WWE is still playing around with the order, both of Saturday and Sunday, so we don't know. We'll assume, again, sorry about the scratching of the nose. I'm setting bad examples here, but the allergies are really getting to me. I did my 6.2 mile run today and got myself stirred up a bit. It's for the WWE title, and Brock Lesnar, the champion there, and he'll be facing Drew McIntyre. And the presumption has been for a while that McIntyre, this will be his turn to take the ball and run with it for a while. And now I wonder, because, you know, do you want to elevate a guy? And I think this works with Reigns too. It actually probably benefits the fact, you know, WWE's been building towards a Roman Reigns championship run on a big stage for quite a while. You know, they're calling this show WrestleMania, but I'm thinking that SummerSlam, presuming that things happen the way that we presume they will, and SummerSlam gets to be this year's unofficial WrestleMania in August, and that we'll have the ability to have big crowds hopefully by then, and be able to put a big show on that benefits, you know, a wrestling extravaganza. You would want to have Reigns and McIntyre winning there, not in front of nobody. So I wonder if you have Strowman win, which I expect to be the case. I don't think Goldberg is going to be part of the company after this weekend. Why wouldn't you have Lesnar still be the champion? I mean, it's just the kind of thinking I've got on this. And so that's interesting. It'd be interesting to see. I really like the idea of so the women's matches now, the women's title matches. We have Becky Lynch defending the Raw women's title against Shayna Baszler. Becky Lynch is just too hot of a product to take the belt off of. I think this is I love the fact that they're elevating Shayna Baszler to get this opportunity. And I think she gets enough of a rub just having a really good match with Becky Lynch. But Becky Lynch is just – she's the most over person in this company and continues to be. Has been for a while, continues to be. But that should be a really good match just because of the styles there that will be presented. The NXT Women's Title match, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. And what an elevation here for Rhea Ripley. She's the champion in NXT. And the idea to bring Charlotte Flair back and have her challenge for this championship, it elevates Rhea Ripley, and it really pushes the NXT brand to have, you know, a top draw on the main shows, as have been called, you know, deciding to come back and challenge for the NXT title. It'll really push NXT, it'll really push Rhea Ripley. And I hope for the sake of the booking here that Rhea Ripley is the champion after this is over with. It'll be a notch on her belt that'll really help her career quite well. The one match I don't like on this card is the SmackDown Women's Title match, the Fatal 5-Way Elimination match. Bayley's a champion. You got Lacey Evans, Sasha Banks, Naomi, and then Tamina Snuka. I don't like this match just because I'm not a fan of 5-Way matches for titles and that kind of thing. So that's it's a general proposition for me that I'm not a fan of those. But it feels like too much. It feels like you're trying to squeeze all these people on the card. And you've already stretched the card out to 2 days, so why not have a series of one-on-ones here, and then have an actual championship match? And so I'm just not into that match. And I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I actually watch the match and like it. But the concept of it, I'm not into. Another match I'm not into concept-wise: John Cena against Bray Wyatt. And this is bias again on my part. And I'm probably very much in a minority on this one in WWE fan circles, but I'm not a fan of the Fiend character in this Firefly Funhouse match concept. I'm just not into it. I'll have the TV on. I'll probably get up and make some popcorn during this match. Maybe refresh my beverage. Look at the internet. Not that there's much to look at because there's no game scores to look at. But this will be a match I don't have to pay close attention to. The fun part of Cena coming back is also kind of missing when you don't have fans to welcome him back. And that's not anybody's fault. It's just the way it is. I'm not sure I would have cared about this match in a normal WrestleMania. So this would have been, I would have been getting my popcorn and refreshing my beverage the same way then. The Raw Tag Titles match, we're told there's significant changes, I think, coming to that. Or is it more of the Triple Threat Ladder match? For the SmackDown tag titles. Either way, there's just too much going on here again. You have tag titles being defended in three team matches. It's just too gimmicky. A three-way match for a title I kind of like. A five-way match for a title like we have the women's match there, I don't like. There have been some good three-way matches. Three tag teams, though, just doesn't make any sense to me. There's already four people in a regular tag team match. We don't have the complication factor of three to teams, just doesn't make sense to me. And then there's talk about, I think it's The Miz wasn't able to be part of this because he actually showed up to the taping with a fever, and a lot of the wrestlers are upset with, he's got heat with them as a result of that. And so obviously if that's the case, he can't compete. You shouldn't go to work if you have a fever, and you certainly shouldn't show up to a wrestling card with a fever. So anyway, the that match, that just, it'll be what it is. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, a ladder match, the idea of a ladder match is always fun, but I'm not very much into that. Intercontinental title match, Sami Zayn defending against Daniel Bryan. I like what they're doing with Sami Zayn. I've always thought that he's a much more talented guy than he's been used in WWE. So I'm hoping that this match actually, this could be a great match if they book it right, write it right. This could be a really good match. Could be the best match of either night, the way this will go. And I say that because I'm a guy who's a fan of the smaller wrestlers who can actually work, as opposed to the big guys who stand there and look good but can't do anything. These are two of those guys. They can work, and it's fun to see them. And the idea of them being out there is really fun too. The WWE Women's Tag Titles match. We'll see if this comes off the way it's supposed to. Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss against Asuka and Kairi Sane. The reason I say that is there have been reported issues with Kairi Sane not being able to travel. I think she'd gone back to Japan, if I read that right. And so whether or not she was able to make it back for this match is obviously a huge question. If she can't make it back, there's no match. As of right now, we're advertising told that the match is on. So again, WWE will be updating this. I understand from reading a report, Dave Meltzer, that we'll know. Let's see, this is Thursday as I'm recording this, as we're doing this live. At this Friday SmackDown will give us the final look at this. So I guess that's why we got to tune in, right? This match is definitely one of those up in the air. I'll tell you what, this next match I'm going to talk about, it's a last man standing match, and it's sort of a legends match. I mean, it's hard for me to admit that Randy Orton and Edge are legends now, because that makes me old. Because, but I'm looking forward to this. I'm an Edge fan, and I think they've built this match up really well. So no titles on the line, nothing else, just two guys who I can't wait to see work. The Boneyard match, as it's called, I don't know what Boneyard matches are supposed to be. I don't think we're not really supposed to. I mean, it's a gimmick match, whatever. Undertaker, AJ Styles. Undertaker matches, even though they foolishly took the streak away from him a few years ago, they're still it's a WrestleMania staple. Chris Labrigram loves Edge. Yeah, we love Edge. We love Lita even more. I got a Lita picture around here somewhere. Maybe I should put the Lita picture up on the wall when I do these wrestling podcasts. I've got the Michaels thing. I've got the Bullet Club behind me. Maybe I need to put some more of these things up here. There's also that T-shirt you see up here in this. Let's see if I can point to it. You can see me. Let's see. Right here, right here, yeah, right there. That's a wrestling shirt too. That's actually a Night of the Superstars shirt from one of our shows we promoted back in the day. So it's kind of obscure up there, but that's one thing we did. Yeah, I ought to put those things back there. Edge and Lita, that's classic wrestling there. Undertaker matches on WrestleMania cards, they're still, it's the Undertaker match. As long as Undertaker can still give us a match, let's enjoy it. I still think it's the stupidest thing they ever did, getting rid of that streak. AJ Styles can work with anybody. He could work with me. He could work with a mop, and it would be an entertaining match. So, working with Undertaker at Undertaker's age is pretty much closer to working with me or a mop than it is working with, vintage Undertaker from 10 years ago. But this will be a good match because AJ Styles will make it a good match, and because it's Undertaker, Undertaker matches are still staples at WrestleMania. Rolling down the rest of this card real quick, and then I'd love to see if there's any questions, commentary. I know I didn't announce this on Facebook, so there's probably a reason for there not to be questions and commentary. I am teasing ahead, and we'll put this on Facebook and on our website that we'll be doing these postcards both Saturday and Sunday night to wrap things up. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, I know I've got at least one person who loves Edge, and I know that same person does not love Kevin Owens. I love Kevin Owens as a performer. I think that I agree with the criticism that he needs to get a little better shape, but that's what it is. He's a great performer. And Seth Rollins, great performer. So when I said Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn will be the best match, this will give it a run for its money. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, again, nothing on the line in terms of a title. You're just rolling them out there and saying how many minutes they've got and go out there and work and impress the hell out of us. And that's what they'll do. On the exact opposite side of the scale, the next couple of matches, the next match at least, Elias versus King Baron Corbin. I've already talked enough about that match. Bobby Lashley, Aleister Black. Could be interesting. It could be. I like Aleister Black's work. I like Bobby Lashley more when he was in TNA Impact. We'll see how this one works out. And then Otis, Dolph Ziggler. Honestly, if we were doing a one-night WrestleMania, this match would start at about 5:15 in front of 20 people. And those 20 people would be eating popcorn and buying t-shirts. I love Dolph Ziggler as an in-ring worker. I'm not a person who gives more than two rat's asses for Otis as a worker or anything else, but I understand he entertains people, and that's fine. So this should be a fun card. I really look forward to seeing most of the matches on this. I described, I think, 16 matches there. We expect it'll be broken down. Obviously, if they do things the way we expect, it'll be 8 matches a night. What I like about what WWE is doing here is that they're trying to still entertain us. I know that they're getting criticism. I saw it myself on my Twitter feed, which I'm really not monitoring anymore. There's so much vitriol right now on Twitter that I'm kind of staying away from that. But, why are they having wrestling when we should be doing things, to me, this is sort of a model for how this can work for when whatever's left is lifted. You know, we're not going to go straight from, let's just use the president's artificially decided upon April 30th as a date that things may start getting back to whatever normal there may be. It's not going to be like April 30th. That's going to happen. And then May 1st, we're just all going to be jumping around, going to the beach, sitting beside each other, going to concerts with 30,000 people, etc. It's not going to happen from one day to the next. Whatever happens, whenever restrictions are loosened, it's going to be loosened. They're not going to be completely just taken off. It's not like there's going to be virus one day, pandemic, and then the next day there's not. If the NBA is going to play, if Major League Baseball is going to play, I think by the time we get to the fall, things may be a little more back to what we knew was normal a few weeks ago. But, in the meantime, if the NBA is going to play, they're going to have to play in a way similar to what WWE is doing. In front of nobody, vigorously testing their players, both the simple test of a fever test or not, but then by the time we're hearing about tests for antibodies that can tell whether or not you've had it, whether or not you've got immunity to it, the contact testing, etc. When we get things back to that, it's going to be that for a while. The fact that WWE is doing what it's doing, it's primitive. What they're doing, they're not doing the antibody testing, they're not doing the contact testing because there's not enough testing being done in general right now. But they're setting an example for how this can be done when it's done. So I applaud them. I'm sure that as soon as there's news that somebody out there in WWE test positive for it, and there's going to be people jumping up and down about how irresponsible things were done by WWE. But I at this point, it's spreading around, and so I think WWE is doing, it feels to me, a sensible way of doing things, and are trying to give us entertainment. So if you don't want to be entertained, don't watch. That's what I'd say about that. But I actually do applaud them for trying to stay alive. And it's not a money thing. I went into great detail. If you're just joining me here on the Facebook Live, or if you're the podcast, you've been with me for a while, you already heard me say this. But WWE certainly, just like everybody else, just like Major League Baseball, like any other business, has had to shut down from a house show perspective. They're not making that money. But their money, the contracts they've got with the two TV networks, unlike AEW, WWE could just roll out on Monday Night Raw, Wednesday NXT, and Friday SmackDown. They could have individual performers sitting in a studio or in their home, even doing what I'm doing right here, and then show great matches, and then just have commentary during commercial breaks or in between matches or whatever else. And they would more, they, people would still watch that. We're getting that example, ESPN showing WrestleManias every Sunday night, right? This weekend, I think they're doing a Brock Lesnar marathon. People are going to be watching this stuff. They don't need to have the matches going on, but they're doing it because they figured out a way to do it. So, and they'll make that money either way. They'll make the money from NBC Universal. They'll make it from Fox. You know, one thing about house shows is they make money, but they also cost money. So, you know, there's an aspect to that too. I applaud them. And if you're watching this Facebook Live, listening to the archive or the podcast, you're a wrestling fan too. But if you're offended by what WWE's doing, you just don't have to watch. And so all those media people who are throwing those questions out there, just don't watch. And I will, and I'm gonna enjoy it. I've said this on other news podcasts that we've done, but you know, I'm a fan of the Monty Python series, the comedy troupe, and their movie series, their TV series. And they started as a group that was lampooning things from the medieval times. You know, they were actually a bunch of history guys who just, you know, had great sense of humor. And one thing that was lampooned in their Holy Grail movie, which if you need something to keep you occupied, you've never watched Monty Python, start with Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Sit through 5 minutes of it. Get to the 6 minute and you'll start realizing, okay, I can translate this, it makes a lot of sense, and this is hilarious, and I'll be repeating these lines for the rest of my life. But one thing that they lampooned was the group of monks from the Middle Ages that would they felt like if they had any enjoyment that they were not properly living their lives. They weren't showing enough contrition, so they would walk around and hit themselves in the head with a stick, with a big, like basically a, I say a stick, but actually a big tablet like thing. Just right, they'd walk around beating themselves in the head to prove how pure they were. I get a feeling that there are plenty of people right now who feel like anybody having any fun and showing it, you know, we should be walking around beating ourselves in the head with a tablet. And I'm not one of those people. You know, we need to get through this. We need to get through it with as much positivity as we can. And so that's why we did this Facebook Live today. It's for those listening to the archive of the podcast, why we did this, why we do what we do. We're just trying to keep a positive mental attitude, because you know what? Whether I worry about it or not, whether I'm scared or not, it's not going to change anything. So instead of going through the next few weeks with that kind of attitude, I've decided that it's going to be a positive one. And so we're going to give close to an hour to breaking down 16 matches of WrestleMania. We're going to talk about, when Scott German is going to join me on a podcast and Facebook Live tomorrow, we're going to talk about UVA basketball and UVA football. And if you don't want to be a part of it, you don't have to be a part of it. You can go around beating yourself in the head with a stick, but I hope the fact that you've hung around with us this long means that you're actually someone who wants to do this too. So, all right, well, next time we do this, hopefully there's some questions for us. We want to keep doing these kind of things, and if nothing else, it's good for me. So, but yeah, when you see it, and actually too, feel free comment on our website. Comment section is back open. Comment on our Facebook page. Let us know what you're thinking about anything, whether it's the important wrestling stuff we just spent the last hour talking about, important UVA sports stuff, and of course the actual important stuff, the COVID-19 news. Anything you want us to either look into for you. More information you need, commentary, whatever, just feel free, because right now a lot of us have a lot more time on our hands to be able to do these kind of things, and we'd love to hear what is on your mind. So you can do that on our website, on our Facebook page, lots of ways to email me. It's all over our website, so I won't even repeat that here, but we want to have that interactivity, because right now we kind of need it, right? We can't be in our physical proximity very much, but we can certainly socially keep up with each other. Thank you for joining us here on this Facebook Live, for listening on the archive, listening to the podcast, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.